Should I crack out of this pokey? That shouldn't be hard to do, but it had better be saved for a last resort. Once out, I would have to stay undercover, and there would be no chance of her contacting me. That was why I was gnawing my way through all my fingernails. The next move was up to Angelina. All I could do was wait. I only hoped that she would gather the right conclusions from all the violent evidence I had supplied. After a week, I was stir-crazy. The royal attorney never came back, and there was no talk of a trial or sentencing. I had presented them with an annoying problem, and they must have been scratching their heads feebly over it and hoping I would go away. I almost did. Getting out of this backwoods jail would have been simplicity itself. But I was waiting for a message from my deadly love. I toyed with the possibilities of the things she might do. Perhaps arrange pressure through the court to have me freed? Or smuggle in a file and a note to see if I could break out on my own? This second possibility appealed to me most, and I shredded my bread every time it arrived to see if anything had been baked into it. There was nothing. On the eighth day, Angelina made her play, in the most forthright manner of her own. It was night, but something unaccustomed woke me up. Listening produced no answers, so I slipped over to the barred opening in the door and saw a most attractive sight at the end of the hall. The night guard was sprawled on the floor, and a burly, masked figure, dressed completely in black, stood over him with a kosh in one meaty hand. Another stranger, dressed like the first, came up, and they dragged the guard further along the hall towards me. One of them rummaged in his waist wallet and produced a scrap of red cloth that he put between the guard's limp fingers. Then they turned towards my cell, and I moved back out of sight, climbing noiselessly into bed. A key grated in the lock, and the lights came on. I sat up, blinking, giving a fine imitation of a man waking up.
"Who's there? What do you want?" I asked.
"Up quickly and get dressed, Deepstall. You're getting out of here." This was the first thug I had seen, the blackjack still hanging from his hand. I sagged my jaw a bit, then leaped out of bed with my back to the wall.
"Assassins!" I hissed. "So that's Vile King Billy's bright idea, is it? Going to put a rope around my neck and swear I hung myself? Well, come on, but don't think it will be easy."
"Don't be an idiot," the man whispered, "and shut the big mouth. We're here to get you out. We're friends." Two more men, dressed the same way, pushed in behind him, and I had a glimpse of a fourth one in the hall.
"Friends," I shouted. "Murderers is more like it. You'll pay dearly for this crime."
The fourth man, still in the hall, whispered something, and they charged me. I wanted a better glimpse of the boss. He was a small man, if he was a man. His clothes were loose and bulky, and there was a stocking mask over his entire head. Angelina would be just about that tall. But before I could get a better look, the thugs were on me. I kicked one in the stomach and ducked away. This was fighting barroom style, and they had all the advantages. Without shoes or a weapon, I didn't stand a chance, and they weren't afraid to use their koshes. I tried hard not to smile with victory as they worked me over. Only reluctantly did I allow myself to be dragged to the place where I wanted to go. Chapter 16. Because the pounding on the head had only made me groggy, one of them broke a sleep capsule under my nose, and that was that for a while. So, of course, I had no idea of how far we had traveled, or where on Freiber I was. They must have given me the antidote, because the next thing I saw was a scrawny type with a hypodermic injector in his hand. He was peeling back my eyelid to look, and I slapped his hand away.
"Going to torture me before you kill me, swine," I said, remembering the role I had to play.
"Don't worry about that," a deep voice said behind me. "You are among friends, people who can understand your irritation with the present regime." This voice wasn't much like Angelina's. Neither was the burly, sour-faced owner. The medic slid out and left us alone, and I wondered if the plan had slipped up somewhere. iron jaw with beady eyes, had a familiar look.